Yeah, the reading is Romans 4, verse 25, and then going into chapter 5 up to verse 11. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man sometimes might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
The very worst of human behavior. It also highlights the best. Love, commitment, bravery, and sacrifice. I think remembrance also highlights that we are still part of a world that seems completely unable to operate to the good of its inhabitants. Our territorialism, Mr. Putin in Russia, Syria and others we could name, our self-centeredness, our suspicion of one another and different parties and factions, our inequality, our injustice, our aggression, and in recent years, all that we've been learning about the poor stewardship of our planet, continue, don't they, to just rip us apart and put us on course for what can just, to me, seem aptly described as self-destruction. We know it isn't. And those of us who are trying to live out our faith in Jesus get as battered and bruised by all of this as anyone else. The difference is this: in and amongst it all, we can remain a people of hope. And we can remain a people of hope because of the conviction that God has done something about it all. God has acted in the most incredibly sacrificial way in and through the person of Jesus. And what God has done brings about a life-changing impact for any or all of us who accept it. It's a big claim, of course, and one whom I'm sure you've got friends and family who question it, ridicule it. But it's central to the Christian faith. And in the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul sets out what God has done with the intention and the understanding that what he has written will bring about what he calls The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Romans 16, 25 to 27, if you want to check that out. That is a lifestyle of faith, trust placed in the person of Jesus, who he is, what he has done, what he is going to do. Now, because this conviction is so important to us, even though many of us are already there in understanding and, you know, holding on to it and living it out, I just felt that this morning it was right to focus on remembering, on this Remembrance Day, God's love and action in Jesus, what it has accomplished and made available to each one of us, and so that there's maybe a slightly different angle, which I hope will be useful to you, look at it through the opening chapters of this letter of Paul to the Church of Rome. And the reason for that is this: Romans is regarded as the letter in the New Testament in which what is central to the Christian faith is set out most systematically. In doing so, it's also regarded as a very significant part of the New Testament and crucial for understanding what is unique to the Christian faith, making clear that it is by God's action and not by any human action or achievement that all that spoils and corrupts our world can be transformed. Let me try, therefore, and express some of the key statements which contribute to this view of Romans being so important. Firstly, Christianity is the good news of God's love revealed to us in the person of Jesus and the things that he taught and did. Christianity is the good news of God's love revealed to us in the person of Jesus and the things that he taught and did. His coming was announced many years before he was born. And during his time on earth, he was declared to be divine as well as human. He was crucified, declared dead and buried, but after 3 days, he was seen again. He had risen. And then he ascended back to heaven and back to his Father. Secondly, as a result, Jesus freely restores the life that God intended human beings to have and enables us to be forgiven for turning away from God. And those two hugely significant gifts, forgiveness and new life, are part of what we refer to as God's grace, because God's forgiveness and new life are things we don't deserve and can't obtain by human effort, try as we might. So firstly, Christianity is the good news of God's love revealed to us in the person of Jesus and the things that he taught and did. Secondly, as a result, Jesus freely restores the life that God intended human beings to have. And thirdly, our response to what God has done, our response, each one of us, our response to what God has done for us in Jesus is to live by faith, which is to live for, to follow, to trust, and obey Jesus in everything, in all that we do, each and every day, helped by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, those three statements are actually what Paul himself says in the opening chapter of Romans. I've tried to restate them in a 21st way, and I've used more words than Paul did to do it. But then Paul goes on to explain why he makes those statements. And as he does so, we get a summary of the first few chapters of Romans. In the rest of chapter 1, he talks about God being angry with human beings because they refuse to acknowledge both God's existence and the lifestyle and morals God wants humanity to adopt. Now, let's remember that this was a culture which believed that gods, plural, the Romans had loads of gods, and they believed that they needed pleasing or appeasing for life to go well, and that those gods would get angry if they were not placated. So Paul picks up on the theme of God being angry and writes that God is angry with the way people behave. They ignore what God wants because they think they can do better. That's most of us, actually. They're foolish, they worship idols, and their moral behavior is appalling. All of which means that they are deserving of nothing but having life taken away from them, death. But, and there is a huge but coming that is unique to Christianity. I'll come to it in a moment, but let's try and put it in the context of the other chapters. So Paul, having said that, moves on to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Paul stresses that everyone, regardless of who they are, their status or whatever in life, everyone is going to be judged by God. And nobody can claim a special status which would exclude them from God's judgment. Again, he has in mind some of the people that he's writing to, as well as those who believed in a variety of gods. Many of them were Jews, and some of them falsely believed that because their forebears had been given the law, a shorthand way of referring to the Ten Commandments and other bits and pieces, they would be okay, because they were special. Not so, says Paul. All are judged. But more than that, he goes on to emphasize it again in the third chapter of Romans. More than that, Paul makes clear that every single person is imperfect. Every single one of us is imperfect. Paul's word for it is unrighteous before God. And our imperfection is called sin. Sin. And as well as the self-realization of knowing that we don't live in the way that we should, he also goes on to argue that those who have the law should know that they are sinners because the law itself shows them that they can't keep the law. So Paul makes in this chapter a statement which is one of the key statements of the New Testament and of the Christian faith. And some of you will know it, I'm sure. Romans 3, verse 23. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Key truth. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he said that Christianity is good news. So here's the good news. Paul then declares that we are put right with God, made righteous by what God has freely done and accomplished for us through Jesus. Now that's simply stated, but it's actually a wow moment of the letter. You know, life as it should have been and can be, depends on accepting what God has done through the life, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to those who thought you had to stop God's being angry with you by sacrifices and offerings, to those who thought that simply by obeying God's law considered you okay, And we could say in modern terms, those who think they're going to be okay because they're decent people, they're not. They need Jesus and what he has done. And in chapter 4, he looks at the example of Abraham. Now, that was important to his audience. The story of Abraham in the Old Testament makes clear that it was faith in God, specifically faith in God's promises, which made Abraham right before God. And in a similar way, he's wanting us to see that our acceptance of what God has done for us in Christ and our faith to believe and trust that we receive God's love, forgiveness, and new life through Jesus means that we are regarded, we're credited, is the biblical word used in Romans, as righteous people in God's sight. So let me try and sum up where we've got to so far and put it even more briefly. Firstly, we don't live as the God who made us wants us to. Secondly, we deserve God's anger and judgment and death. Thirdly, every single one of us is infected by sin. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, or to use another word, we are all ungodly. And then here's the but. Here's the but, expressed so incredibly in the verses you've heard this morning. Chapter 5, verse 6. We're ungodly, but at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. And in that crucifixion, God took the anger and judgment that sin deserves and put it to death. Verse 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave of himself for you and I in the person of his Son, Jesus. God then raised Jesus from death so that through him, by faith, anyone who accepts what God through Jesus has done can enjoy life as God intended, living it out in the troubled environment of this earth and looking forward with certain hope to the glory of heaven. Amen. Now, as I said at the beginning, most of us here probably know this stuff. Most of us can probably witness to a light bulb moment, you know, the moment when what has been made known was suddenly revealed to us in such a way that it became life-changing for us. Or there's been a gradual dawning of its significance. My hope this morning in remembering it and going over it again is that it's a good thing to do. It strengthens our conviction in having made the right choice. But hopefully, we've learned something from Romans as well. And should there be those of you here this morning who have not had that light bulb moment I've just referred to, you've heard us talk over the weeks about, you know, making a response, making a decision, and it's just so important that each one of us does that. Each one of us, big word for it, but appropriates, takes on board into our own lives what God has done for us in Christ. That's so important. This time of remembrance brings to us the fact that we can't escape the diabolicalness of war, the cruelty of humanity, or the various afflictions and trials that come our way in this life. But we are offered by the God who made us a way, truth, and life through what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've already accepted that offer, Please give renewed thanks for the life that you have. But if you've never personally responded to what God has done for you, then why not take the first step of a new journey? Make this day a day you'll remember for all sorts of reasons.